Paul Nolte, Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist for Murphy and Silvest. I was looking at the Wall Street Journal this morning, Paul, and let me read this line and then you can react. Analysts, many of whom had expected a recession this year, are pushing up their forecasts. Are you?
I don't know if I'm pushing up my forecast, but certainly I've been one of those economists that have been wrong about the recession that was supposed to happen this year. So it's been postponed until further notice. we've talked about it a lot over the last month or so that we're still, I think, suffering from a hangover from the pandemic with the money that was put out by the government. The Federal Reserve zero interest rate policy for 15 years is having an impact. And, you talk to CEOs of banks, they said deposits are much higher than they were pre-pandemic. So things seem to be cooking at a pretty good pace.
In your newsletter, you write that the Fed rates are probably going to be higher for longer. Why do you think so?
We've heard that from every every Fed official that has been out and talking for the last 2 weeks. They're in their quiet period now before their meeting next week, but they've talked about trying to keep interest rates higher to quell inflation. They don't see the need to raise interest rate as much anymore, but that rates will stay where they're at until we get inflation back down to the 2% level. And that could be sometime mid-late next year before they even start talking about cutting rates.
Another headline in the financial news that caught my eye today, it has never been a worse time to buy instead of rent. How about that?
Well, I mean, when you get your car payment at $1,000 a month and mortgage payments now are, you know, significantly higher, you can do some of the math on an 8% mortgage. We haven't seen an 8% mortgage in 20 years. Home owning is still something that you would like to be able to do because you do build up equity over time. There is appreciation in the housing market that continues over the duration of that 30-year mortgage that you don't have in a rental place. But as far as cash flow, immediate cash flow for the next 2 years, 3 years, a rental does make some sense at this point.
Here's an interesting statistic. The average monthly new mortgage payment is 52% higher than the average apartment rent.
Mm-hmm. And that's a function of mortgage rates. And,
yeah.
You know, at being, you know, we were at 3% 2 years ago. We're at 8 or close to 8 now. So, yeah, it has a huge impact on your monthly payments. But you and I certainly remember the days when mortgage rates, we were excited to get a 16% mortgage rate.
True.
So,
yeah. Friday, we're going to get something called the personal consumption expenditures number. What is that and why do we care? Or should we care?
Well, it's another inflation input. So it's one of the Fed's favorite ways to look at the inflation and look at what is happening to the consumer as far as what they're spending money on and what the inflation rate is that's attached to that. So that's one of the last inflation numbers that we get before the Fed meeting. And again, it's an inflation input. The Fed is more concerned about inflation right now than the economic growth. They see economic growth as still being good. Their biggest concern is inflation, and they would really like to see that come down to 2%.
And we're going to get the report on new home sales, too, aren't we?
Yeah. So, you know, the housing market, we'll see the impact of those higher mortgage rates. It's interesting you're getting a difference in new construction. That's still going very well. But existing home sales are really struggling because of the mortgage rates. New home construction, you might get some concessions from builders, so your mortgage might be a little bit lower because of that.
And what about technology stocks and those companies?
Still cooking. We get their earnings. We get a lot of the earnings of the big seven, if you will, this week. Microsoft, Google, Apple, Amazon. We'll get to see what they look like. Estimates are that they should beat the estimated earnings and revenue forecast, but we're not seeing as much from the rest of the S&P 500. We get the big earnings this week and next week. Revenue top line growth has been generally fairly anemic. They're beating on the bottom line because they're able to cut expenses or pass on some of those higher costs onto the consumer.
You think stocks could be primed for a bounce, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're down, let's see, we've been down now 6 out of the last 8 weeks, and pretty significantly, you know, where you see a lot of heavy selling in a lot of stocks, especially the small cap stocks. So, you know, it's kind of like pushing the balloon underwater a little bit. You know, you push it down long enough and you get a pop. Whether it's long lasting, we're starting to enter the best part of the year. November, December, January tend to be very good for the markets. So we've survived the 2-3 worst period months of the year, August, September, October. We're due for at least a little bit of a rally here.
And you financial gurus, how much attention are you paying to what's going on in the Middle East?
A little. And really where that's coming out is in energy prices. But the geopolitical environment has a fairly short shelf life on Wall Street. Wall Street tends to look more at earnings, the economy, et cetera. And while you will get daily moves depending upon the news, it does not tend to last very long.
My favorite line in your blog this week is bonds have become the Rodney Dangerfield of the investment world.
That took me a couple hours to come up with. Yeah.
Explain that, please.
You know, for the last 15 years prior to the pandemic, there was no alternative. You couldn't buy bonds because there was no yield. And now nobody's buying bonds at a 5% yield because they're afraid of loss as interest rates continue to rise. And 5% is not a bad yield right now. You know, if we were to talk 2-3 years ago and say, you know, if I can give you 5% guaranteed by the government for 5 or 10 years, what would your reaction be? And be like, I'll take it. Now nobody's really taking it because they're afraid of further losses. But I think 5% is not a bad rate of return for a fixed income type of an environment. So that 60-40 portfolio, I think, is back, and mm-hmm. I think makes a lot of sense in this type of an environment.
Interesting. Paul Nolte, Murphy and Sylvest. All right, I hope you get a lot of respect today, Paul. Thank you.